So I'll have a quick introduction to Pirkei Avot. The Torah teaches us what we're supposed to do and not do, right? So we know what's permitted, prohibited. I cannot eat pork. I cannot eat meat with milk. I know what the Torah prohibits. I know what the Torah permits. I know I'm supposed to rest on Shabbos. I know I'm supposed to don tefillin every morning. I know I'm supposed to say Kriyat Shema every morning and every evening. I know what I'm supposed to do. But within all of that, it's a little bit hard to define. Am I supposed to be very uptight or very calm? Am I supposed to be more patient? Or where in the Torah does it say that it's wrong to be impatient? Where in the Torah does it say you shouldn't be proud? So along comes this tractate, Pirkei Avot, and the tractate focuses on the traits that we should want to develop. The tractate begins with an order of Moshe gave the Torah at Sinai, he gave it to Joshua, who gave it to the elders, who gave it to the prophets, to the elders, the men of the great assembly, and then it goes in order. And one of the messages of this tractate is that we have a tradition as to how to behave. Even though you look in the Torah, it's a little bit hard to prove that the Torah wants certain traits. One of the messages of this tractate is that we do have a tradition as to the traits we're supposed to develop. So the tractate begins, the first chapter and a half, go in historical order. And it gives you quotes from the rabbis of each generation as to messages of how we're supposed to behave. I'm going to throw at you now, you want a depth, so I'm going to throw at you a few points to ponder. One question we have to ask ourselves when we learn Pirkei Avot is, are we learning about obligatory traits, or are these good things for a pious person to aspire to? That's a discussion among the commentaries. We don't have an agreement on that. Some things here are obligatory, and some things here are points we should strive for, but they're not obligatory. We're going to see. Some of the things we're learning are midat chassidut. They're what we call for the extra pious. You get a bonus point for it, but you're not evil if you don't do it. We're going to have to ponder that on each Mishnah. The messages that are given, why are they given in the name of this rabbi or that rabbi? Didn't everyone agree that these are good ethics, these are good traits? So the general understanding is that each rabbi would stress the point that was necessary in his generation. That's what Rashi writes in his concluding commentary on the tractate. Rashi says every rabbi has to look at his generation and see which of these traits have to be stressed. So it's not that there's almost no argument in Pirkei Avot. Even though one rabbi is going to say one thing and another rabbi is going to say another, it's rare in Pirkei Avot that there's an argument. We do have. We have a few places where they're actually arguing. But almost always they're not. And the final point, which we'll leave to Rabbeinu Yonah to define for us, you go by Jordan or Shlomo. Jordan Rajuan was here 9 years ago. And now he's visiting us. He's honoring us again. He's scared you're going to get hit by the door. Come sit next to me. Yeah. I can move wherever you want.
Sorry.
So once we took a break, we'll expand that break for 1 second. The Gemara says there was a man who had a field. And he used to work the field for 6 months of the year. 6 months he was working the field. And the yeshiva he'd want to attend was a journey that took him a quarter of a year, 3 months. And he'd travel 3 months to get to the yeshiva and 3 months back home. And he'd have 1 day to learn. And the Gemara says they had a special nickname for him. They called him Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma. He's the rabbi who acquires the title in a day. Because he's working all year to get that 1 day of learning. He's working half a year to sustain himself. 3 months to travel there. 3 months to travel back. But you see, the 1 day he could learn, he's learning. So that's Bar Beirav Dechad Yoma. So Shlomo's been coming here every year whenever he has time. He comes in for a day, for a week. So it's a big thing. We have a few students, Davka from England. In 3 weeks, we're getting Ben Artman back. Some of you might remember him. He also does that. Works as a doctor. When he has a little vacation, he comes in for a week or two and then flies back, continues working. Okay, so back to Pirkei Avot. There's another point which we'll have to ponder, and that is that Sometimes we see the same line two or three times in Pirkei Avot. Asei lecha rav. Choose for yourself a teacher. So that appears numerous times in the tractate. Is each rabbi saying it with a different message? Or were they just, is the tractate pointing out that's the different generations where they stress that point? So Rashi is of the opinion that if the same message appears twice, it's telling you the same message twice. That's how Rashi learns. Other commentaries point out the differences. Why they're actually saying a different message if you look at it in context. So those are a few points as we learn through Pirkei Avot we'll have to think about. I try to stick to the text of the Pirkei Avot and the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah. And if we expand, it's focused on Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation. If you guys will want more classes on Pirkei Avot, we can do that. But this class, Friday morning, we do Pirkei Avot with the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah. Another quick point of introduction. Rabbeinu Yonah, as we discussed last night, came from the city of Gerudni. I think that's Granada, Spain. And Rabbeinu Yonah was from the commentaries of the Talmud, the later Tosfos commentaries of the Talmud. He was from the rabbis who lived after Maimonides and very much opposed Maimonides. And Rabbeinu Yonah, it's quoted that Rabbeinu Yonah spent a period of his life traveling throughout Europe, preaching how they should not learn Rambam, and at his time they burnt manuscripts of Maimonides because of the philosophy Maimonides had in his work. A period passed, and Rabbeinu Yonah was witness to the burnings of the Talmud. And Rabbeinu Yonah saw a correlation. Rabbeinu Yonah said, okay, I made a mistake. He reanalyzed what the Rambam said and his position on it, and Rabbeinu Yonah went back and started traveling through Europe to all those cities that he had visited and gave speeches about how he was wrong and we should not burn the Rambam. That takes greatness, you know, big rabbis coming back to town and saying, hey, you know, I made a mistake. He compiled the work Sha'arei Tshuva, The Gates of Repentance, and he also compiled a commentary on Talmud. We have on different tractates commentaries of Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah is known for his tremendous character, his honesty, his striving to be a pious person. And so we have a fantastic commentary from Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avot, which is what we learn Friday mornings. Yes?
What was like one or two of his biggest criticisms?
Thursday night, we go on tangents. Right now, we got to stay focused. So, for those of you who don't know, that's Menachem Shlomo, right?
Yes.
I'm learning.
Very good.
Okay, and we're going to pick up with Pirkei Avos, the second chapter, the eighth Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel milel mishamai. We have a rabbi in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was considered the smallest disciple of Hillel. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived through the period of the destruction. He was the one who visited Vespasian and told him he would be appointed emperor, and then he was granted three wishes, and thanks to him we were able to salvage the oral tradition with Yavne and its sages. That was one of the gifts he asked for. Don't destroy Yavne and its sages. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received his tradition from Hillel and Shammai. Hu haya omer, he used to say, im asita Torah harbe, if you've done much Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha. Don't take credit for it. Don't feel great about it. Ki lechach notzalta. So that's what you were created for. So, okay? The ant does its job. The bee does its job. And a person who learns Torah is doing his job. He doesn't have to be proud about it. Chamisha talmidim ayu lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five prime students. He had many. He was the head of the academy. But there were five that were called his talmidim, his disciples. Ve'eluhen. These are the five students. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He was 28 before he learned Kriyat Shema. He didn't know how to say Shema or benching. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Hyrcanus, he later on became a great, great sage. And he was a top disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. He was a blacksmith. He was an astronomer. He was a tremendous sage. The Roman emperor used to take his counsel, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Whenever we encounter Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Whenever we encounter Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So the two of them were contemporaries. And in the Medrash, we find stories of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua that are almost identical to the stories of Hillel and Shammai, where Rabbi Yoshua was the accepting one and Rabbi Eliezer was the stern one. Rabbi Yosei HaKohen, the third disciple is Rabbi Yosei HaKohen. By the way, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania had some kind of deformity. There's the famous story where the emperor's daughter asked him, how could it be there's such wisdom in such an ugly vessel? And she was telling him, you have such bad looks, how could you have any intelligence? And you know the continuation here? So he said to her, where does your father store his best wines, right? So she, where does your father store his best wines? So she said, in earthenware vessels. He said, a family like you? You're so wealthy, you're the emperor's daughter, don't you think you should store your wine in gold vessels? So she told her dad, hey dad. Now he was hinting something to her that, you know, externals don't reflect the internals, but she wasn't sharp enough to get that. So she went to her father and said, let's transfer all the wines to gold vessels. And shortly thereafter, they all went bad. So the emperor called him in and said, you know, what's going on here? He said, I answered her like she asked me. Things go better. Our sages say when a person is good looking, it's much harder for them to be humble. When a person isn't humble, then they have a harder time retaining Torah. So back to our Mishnah. So that's Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania. So we know he was a blacksmith. We know he was an astronomer. We know he was consulted by the Roman emperor. And we also know he had bad looks. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Hu haya moneh shivchan. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai used to list their praise. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus bolsut sheino ma'abed tipa. He's like a pit that's been lined. In that pit doesn't lose a drop of water because it's been they put seed on it. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania shayulat Torah. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania praised as he who, is the woman who bore him. So we'll just learn the commentary on those two, and the rest we'll pick up as Hashem next week. He said Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus is bo seed sheino ma'abed tipa. It's like a pit that retains all its water. Meaning he had a phenomenal memory. He never forgot anything he learned. Gentlemen, today is the 3rd of Elul. You guys know what the 3rd of Elul is? The 3rd day in the month of Elul is the day that Rav Kook Zatzal passed away. So in the back of Rav Kook's work, Orot HaTorah, they quote from different letters he wrote his son about learning Torah. So one comment he makes to his son, he says, I was shocked. I was terribly shocked. Look at the Benny Ovadia who just walked in. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Could we pour you a drink?
I'm all right.
So he writes to him, he writes to his son, Rav Kook Zatzal writes, I was terribly shocked to hear that you only review your learning 3 times. I'm telling you, he says about himself, and I know the giants of the Jewish people, no one would leave a chapter without reviewing it 10 times. I don't know, you can't think you'll remember it or you got it in less than 10 times. That's the first time you learn something, 10 times review. So when we read about the rabbis who remembered things tremendously, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, it says he would learn 2 halachot each day, and then he'd review them all day. So it's not that he had this photographic memory, he didn't forget anything, he'd review it. He'd spend a lot of time analyzing and reviewing and getting it. So, he remembered. He never forgot anything. He reviewed everything he learned over and over and over again. Just like a pit, after you've lined it, and then it doesn't lose a drop. Because then even the walls of the pit don't absorb any liquid because the walls have been lined properly. So our Mishnah said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received his tradition from Hillel and Shammai. What did we discuss today? We said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest disciple, yet he was the one who led the Jewish people. He was the one who told Vespasian he would be emperor, and when his prophetic declaration came true, Vespasian gave him 3 gifts, one of which was Yavne and its sages. We said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's disciples were Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, who didn't start learning a word till he was 28. Remember, he didn't know Shema, he didn't know anything. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania, what do we know about him? Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania is the blacksmith, astronomer, consultant to the king. We learned that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus was given the praise by his Rebbe that he's like a pit that doesn't lose a drop. because he'd review his learning and he wouldn't forget anything he learned. In the Talmud, it expands on this and says that he was also careful not to say anything he didn't hear directly from his teachers. If you'd ask him a question, he could always give a quote. He was learning so accurately that he always knew how to quote. And if he didn't have a quote, he'd say, ask someone else, even though he knew the answer. But he said, I don't want to say anything I didn't hear directly from my teachers. That's how careful he was about his tradition. He was lying on his deathbed, and he said to the students, why didn't you learn more? He said, you know, I have 3,000 halachot with regards to the prohibition in this week's parasha of doing sorcery on one type of sorcery that you can make a vegetable garden grow with an incantation. I have 3,000 halachot on that no one's ever asked me about, and I'm going to die, and they're just going with me. He said, so why didn't you learn more? He says, in one area I had 3,000 halachot that no one ever asked me about, so you don't even know them. That was on his deathbed. They were asking him questions till the minute his soul passed. He was lying on his deathbed, and every second they'd ask him another question. It was Friday afternoon, and his son Hyrcanus was wearing tefillin. And he was wearing tefillin. And his son Hyrcanus came to take off his tefillin. And he said to his son, go light the candles for Shabbos. So Hyrcanus tells the rabbis, he whispers, he says, I think Dad's lost it. So his father on his deathbed says, son, you lost it. I didn't lose anything. Shabbos is coming in. To light candles is a biblical prohibition. Taking off tefillin is not biblical. Go light the candles before you deal with the tefillin. And then they saw he didn't lose it. They asked him questions, and they were asking him till the minute his soul passed away. So that's the great Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Whenever we encounter Rabbi Eliezer in Shas, that's Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Hyrcanus, who was also a tremendous philanthropist. His father, Hyrcanus, was one of the wealthiest people in Israel at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. So that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. We'll pick up here next week, God willing, with Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah.